Blog Talk Radio.
Someone, the more he wants from you, and the less you have to give, since you have already given him your love. And that's a quote from Nikki Giovanni. Good morning. Again, I'm so excited to be on this broadcast with you. I want to thank you, Kimmy Poo, for coming on, my dear. I know you have to wake up so early from where you are. And I will need your assistance in the chat room today because my able assistance will not be with me today. Today is the day when we invest in our entrepreneurs and small business people. And you ask, how do we do that? Well, the experts that I bring on, they help me to empower, inspire, and educate my listeners so that they can just catapult into brighter horizons, and that they will no longer settle for mediocrity, but they will just go out to live the life that they were called to do. Before I bring my distinguished, honored guest on this morning, I want to just do a bit of housekeeping. I want to remind you that you are welcome to participate in the dialogue by calling 646-915-8166. Again, 646-915-8166. And if you're in the chat room, please, by all means, type your question and I will repeat it for my listener. I am your host and a very proud and honored one. I do not take this lightly, because I am sure there are so many more things that you could be doing each time, but you choose to tune into the show, and for that, I am so thankful. My first guest this morning will be attorney Kathleen Williams, and she is a real diva. I put out on Facebook this morning that I'm going to be hanging out with a diva this morning, and she is indeed an amazing woman, as you will hear when I bring her on late in a few minutes. I want to remind you about the event I have coming up March the 23rd through the 26th at the Broadway Millennium Hotel in New York City. It is the Vision Weekend Conference 2012. It will be a Vision Transformation Revolution Weekend. Speakers on the platforms are Simon T. Bailey, the Brillionaire, out of Florida, Mr. Leon Ellis, out of New York City, Jan Mullock, from Australia, Crystal Washington from Houston, Texas, Willie Crawford from Florida, Brian D. Ridgway out of Hawaii, Ariella Mitchell Durant from Arizona, Stephen Jackson from New York, Dr. Cheryl Cuttle out of Canada, Mr. Sam Orm out of Atlanta, Georgia, Mr. Kobe Huberman from Israel, Mr. Edward Foxworth III out of Detroit, Mrs. Jennifer Sertle out of Rochester, New York, Mrs. Chandel Pitts from Virginia, and Mr. James Nemley out of New York City. So listen, guys, you got to be here at the Vision Revolution Transformation Conference, because if you are looking to take your business, your life, and your career to the next level, my friends and I have gotten together to make sure that this is going to happen for you. So we look forward to seeing you there. One thing you can do for us in the meantime, you can follow us on Twitter at Vision Weekend One. And on Facebook, please like our page, the Facebook.com Vision Weekend Conference. No, Vision Weekend is what it is. No conference on that. So just follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook, and make sure you direct all your contacts to those two places. So without any further delay, I want to bring on my guest live. I know she's no stranger to Blog Talk because she is a diva herself on Blog Talk. She's a radio host, she's a TV personality, and she's just going to tell you all the amazing things that she's doing. Good morning, Attorney Williams. How are you?
Oh, great. Thank you, Jeffy. Thank you so much for that great invitation. How are you?
I am wonderful, wonderful. It is such an honor to be hanging out with you this morning, because you are just an amazing woman doing some phenomenal, phenomenal things. You are just putting a lot of strong ripple in the water. So for those of my listeners who really don't know who you are, would you please take some time to introduce yourself to the listeners?
I always have a difficult time doing that. The best that I can tell you is that, and I'm still getting that feedback, Daphne. Are you getting that too?
No.
Oh, okay, good. Well,
yeah, just go ahead. I'm sorry. It's good.
The best that I can say is, some days when I just wake up in the morning, all I do is just thank God. You know, thank God for another opportunity to be here serving Him.
Mm-hmm.
And truly, unless somebody reminds me someday, I don't remember. I don't really think of the things that I do and the blessing that God has given me, the opportunity to do His work. But sometimes I don't even think about it until people point it out. So I just wanted to re-thank you for the amazing introduction. And seriously, thank you for that, because sometimes we're like, oh, wait a minute. Oh, yeah, I can do some stuff, huh? This is wonderful. But I am, by profession, a registered nurse, and I worked in nursing for many, many years in a lot of different areas. One thing, though, I always wanted to do was become a lawyer, and so... During my career in nursing, I decided to make the transition. But after having been married and had my son, I decided to go back to law school full time and pursue the career of attorney. So I am now a licensed practicing attorney in the state of New York. I'm barred here in New York. I am also a registered nurse. I have a sole practice, which is a general practice, so we practice all kinds of laws, foreclosure defense, criminal law, family law, and real estate. I also have, as you mentioned, I am a television show host, and a radio show host. My TV show is called I'm Just Saying. It's been on the air now for, we're going into our sixth or seventh season. And I'm very excited about that. You can find me on Fios, on RCN, on Public Access in Brooklyn, Manhattan, and Queens. And, of course, on the internet at I'm Just Saying TV, or IJS TV on YouTube. We've had some very distinguished guests, and it's been an exciting journey on the television program. The radio show is called Ask Kathleen. It's on every Sunday night at 7 p.m. Eastern. And this Sunday, Congressman Meek will be my guest, and we've had a lot of fabulous guests there as well. And I work for single mothers and men. I'm an author also. The title of my book is Single Mother, the New Father. It's the story of raising my son as a single mom. It's the first in a series of books. And I'm very excited about those, helping single mothers, because it's the help that I needed when I was raising my son. So it's got incredible information in there. And my son co-wrote the book with me. Of course, the International Men's Day program, because of my commitment to raising sons as single mothers, I ended up doing a tremendous amount of work with men and fathers and role models and mentors that I could use for my son. And that pulled me into the arena of supporting men and letting them know just how important their role is in the life of children. So I now do this program for International Men's Day. I was appointed by a lady that we'll meet in a little while, Diane Spears, who is a U.S. coordinator International Men's Day, which was started in 1999 by Professor Tulaksing. And she'll tell you more about that.
Yeah, we will get into all of that later on. But I was sitting here smiling, and I know you have some West Indian roots as well from Jamaica. But your story, I don't know whether or not you know a woman by the name of Lorna Owens. She now resides in Florida. And if you don't know each other, I'll need to introduce you, because your stories are so intertwined.
Wow.
Growing up in Jamaica, I know you have relatives from the West Indies. And they have their own myths about attorneys and what they think are going to happen to attorneys when they die. So Lorna, growing up in Jamaica, wanted to be an attorney. And with all the myths that they have about that, the mother said, oh, no, because you, no, when you die, you're going to go to hell and all of that and all of that story. So you can't become an attorney. So she went to England and studied nursing. Came back to Florida. Came to Florida, Kathleen. Worked as a nurse and put herself through law school. And now she's an attorney working with abused women and doing her TV show and her radio show as well.
Got you. My twin sister.
That's right. That's right. So it's amazing. And, you know, we are not saying this to brag or to speak ill of our parents. However, we are saying this so that people who are listening can understand it is never too late to walk into that calling that you were created for.
Never. And let me tell you something. My mother, because from the time I was a little girl, and I mean like junior high school, maybe even earlier, from the time I was a little girl, I wanted to be a lawyer. And I was not quiet about it. I told my mother, I told my parents that, you know, I want to be a lawyer. Everybody asked me, what do you want to do when you grow up? I want to be a lawyer. And my mother would not have it.
But I tell you.
No.
All right, now. Is your mom still alive?
No, she's not.
Okay,
so
I was going to ask her to tell you the real truth why she didn't want you to go. Because in Jamaica, way back when I was growing up there, they always says lawyers are going to go to hell when they die.
Let me tell you, my mother would not have it. As a matter of fact, if not for her, I would never have become a nurse. And that's a story. That's for another show, Daphne.
That's a story. No, but I'm telling you, Kathleen. So you better put my check in the mail for telling you the real truth. I'm telling you. Oh, we Jamaicans, oh, we are lovely people. But Lord, we have our stuff.
That is too funny. Oh, my goodness. I can't wait. I got to call my sister because maybe she will know, right? But my mother wanted a doctor, you see, because doctors, on the other hand, very different from attorneys.
Yes, go ahead.
I said, all the doctors very different from attorneys. So obviously, all the doctors must go to heaven.
Oh yes, all the doctors are going to heaven for all, even for all the bad surgery they perform and they all the medical malpractice. But they're going to heaven based on my country, folks. I love my island people. I just love them. Oh,
that's
but,
great.
You know,
that is great.
It's amazing, but you know, we need to just follow our hearts and make sure that we leave this world empty. You know, a friend of mine lost her daughter earlier on this year in New York City. And Joel was only 21 years old. But I tell you, when I went to her service, Kathleen, and I look, it was a church in the village in Manhattan. And I look around in the church, and the church was jam-packed. They had to put extra chairs in. The balcony was full. Outside in the hallway was a lot of people. And just this week, I was speaking to her mother, and we were exchanging our thoughts on the service, and she was saying that Joel's death has opened her eyes because she realized that her daughter died at 21. However, the daughter had touched so many people. Things her daughter was doing to impact people's lives, she did not even know about it. Now it has opened her. And I said, you said something to me that I realized even in that service, because Kathleen, there were all different races, ethnicity, culture, age groups in that service. And she said to me, other than you guys and the people that came from Jamaica, my relative and some of the people from church, all the other people were people who Joel touched their lives. So we are in this world, and we ought to leave here empty when we exit. Let's talk about single parenting for a while. Single mother, the new father. And we are indeed right, because, you know, I listened to that and it brought tears to my eyes, because I too am a single mother. And I remember one year, Kathleen, when my son was maybe 9 or something, he gave me a Father's Day card. And I opened the card, I read it, and the tears began to roll out my eyes. And I didn't know how to take it at that time. And I sat there, and I pondered on the card. It was a card that he made. He didn't buy it in the store. He made it. So I knew there was a lot of love in it. And I sat back and I said, but Daphne, through the tears, I said, you are his father. You are his mother. So let's talk about that time for you. At what age of your son did you become a single mother?
He was 3.
Wow. Oh, my heavens.
Yeah. He was 3 years old.
Mine was 2.5. Devontae was 2.5. Wow. Interesting. So
yeah,
so
and when I think about it, it's still painful.
Mm-hmm.
It is still painful.
Wow. Someone in the chat room says, I was raised by a single mother, and I did not miss my father. That is powerful. That's a powerful statement.
It is a powerful statement.
I want to thank you for sharing that, Kimmy. Because I think for girls, it's kind of different when it comes to the fathers. Because I think that some girls, they just latch on and they get so connected to their mothers. And yet the boys yearn for that male role model in their lives in the form of a father. Although I know they have a book called Black Boys and Their Mothers. And I think if you could overall say boys and their mothers, because they are very protective of their mothers too. But let us just, you know, just go that journey a little bit. Tell me a little. I know it is still painful and everything, but you have evolved out of that. But as you look back over that, Kathleen, what can you share with the other single mothers?
Well, I totally appreciate Kimmy's statement also, you know, that she didn't miss her father. But I just want to add, having grown up with my dad, I want to be careful when I say this because I don't want anybody to think that just flow with me for a minute. Sometimes you don't miss what you never had.
That's right.
Okay. So having had the experience of growing up with a dad, but a good dad, I know the tremendous value of having a good dad and how much it added to my life. Right? Now, I'm not saying, however, that you can't have an amazing life without your dad in the household. And if your dad is not, if your father is one that is not going to add to your life positively, then of course I would not be the one to say you're better off having a dad than no dad.
That's right.
In your life. You
it's
understand
the
what I mean?
Experience. It's
right. But I don't want to be the one, you know, I don't want to be the one that encourages people to think, okay, you know what? Single mothers are just cool. You ain't got the dad around. No problem. You're the mother, you're the father, and all good. Because that's really not what I profess. Because I believe that young men and young women need their fathers. Because, you know, people say that the dad is the first boyfriend the girl ever had. That's a cliche that I don't really.
Okay, I don't subscribe to that. But anyhow,
you know, I'm glad you and I are in agreement.
Yeah.
But most people say that, and I hear most men say that. I'm my daughter's first boyfriend. I teach her how to understand how a man should treat her. And she shouldn't marry anybody who doesn't treat her as good as I do and all this stuff. And I know a lot of young ladies that grow up saying that as well, and many of them are still single. But anyway, that's another show.
That's two more shows we get there. However, the thing that Kimmy says too that I appreciate is that her mother never at any time speak ill of their father and that the father never loved them. And which is the same thing I have done with my son, Javonte. I have never speak ill about his father. I said to him, listen, I divorced your father as my husband. I did not divorce him as your father.
Right.
And whatever ill there is between them is based on his interaction with his father, and he has come to a crossroad as what he decides to do. I still don't speak ill of his father because it's not my place to do. I'm not going to be judgmental. I'm not living in his body. I don't know why he have done the things that he did. He will have to come to reckon with all of that himself. So, go ahead.
I was going to say he absolutely will, and prayerfully he's not an attorney, so he won't have a double whammy going.
I don't know what he is. He wasn't when I married him, so I don't know if he has aspired to greater levels now. But I wanted to piggyback on something you said about we can't miss what we never have, and it is so true. Because it's not every father is a daddy, and it's not every daddy is a father. And for each individual, you have to take the time to understand the difference and know when both of those titles has come together to give a child or a family the best. Because there are a lot of fathers who never stay around to be a daddy because they plant the seed and they never know whether the seed germinates or not, because from the minute they plant it, they took off. So through winter, rain, sleet, they are never there to nurture that seedling that grew out of that. And a lot of those seedlings become big trees. And those fathers, a lot of times, are standing under those trees and for shade and don't even realize that that is the seedling that they had brought, you know?
That's Steve Jobs. If I remember correctly, that's Steve Jobs' story.
Exactly. That's what I was saying. He was eating at his father's restaurant, and what happened? Didn't he even know it was him?
And he knew that he was not disclosing himself to his dad.
Yeah, it is a shame.
Yeah.
It is a shame. And, you know, there is so much to learn in this world. And we are not here this morning pointing fingers. But what we are saying that regardless of whether the fathers are around and respectfully so, we can even say some of the mothers, Kathleen, because some of the mothers take off and leave the fathers too. So whomever the single parent is, whether you're a father or a mother, we want you to give the best of what you have. But the one thing we want you to do is to support respect for the missing parent, regardless of the friction and conflict that you both went through. Please do not have that spill over to the children, because you will live to forget them, regret that. So show love and peace. Know that you are totally responsible for you. You're not responsible for the next person, nor are you responsible for the next person's action. So you stand in your lane, give all the love, respect, and support that you can. So, do you have any response to that? Or I can move on.
Well, I just wanted to say that the issue of not speaking ill about the other parent is really important. But I know for a fact that if there are any single mothers listening to us right now, whether they've been single for a while or they're going through a divorce or they're going through a separation or a breakup right now with the father of their children, they are not heeding this advice. They're not doing it. And how do I know? Because I didn't always heed it myself. Now, I stand up all pretty and say, don't talk bad about the father. You know, I say that because I know the importance of it, but that doesn't mean that I was always there. And it wasn't that, and when I say that, it's not always that we're talking about what you say to your children.
That's right. That's right.
But when you are on the phone with your girlfriend, girl, like that man just
drives
me crazy. I can't stand him. I don't know what he said. You know, I could go on for a half an hour.
Exactly,
about some
2 hours.
Of the things that we say to our girlfriends, to our parents, you know, to our family members, to the new guy. Whatever
That's
it
right.
is, you're talking about it. And you never know where your child happens to be. Whether they hear you or they don't hear you, right? So they may hear you. But even more important is the energy that is stirred up in your own loins and your own body when
That's
you
right.
talk negatively about that person.
That's
so,
right.
And
it's going
to
be manifested.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you will continue to attract the manifestation of what you're saying.
That's right.
You are all in existence when you speak ill of him. It's just like anything else.
That's
so
right.
Always say that. Don't say it negatively to the children. I'm saying don't say it negatively. Don't say it at all.
Don't say it at all.
Find the space that you need to be able to forgive that person, forgive yourself, get rid of the guilt, and exist in peace and harmony so that you have harmony and joy in your home. Because that negative energy, that poison, that's coming out of you. And your children will pick it up out of your system and out of your spirit, whether you say it to them or you don't. You can't turn your face one side and say, around to the child on the other side and say, oh, honey, now you know you need to love your dad.
Yeah, right.
You know, it doesn't work.
Right, and then the child is thinking, well, why aren't you loving him? Because we got to understand, a lot of these women, they do not understand why they open their door and they look out their gate and they see the ex standing out there in a different body. It's because of the energy and all these things that Kathleen just mentioned. That's why you keep attracting the same man over and over and over and over in your life. So begin to demonstrate some love towards the situation. And listen, it's not going to happen overnight. But if you find out that 2 minutes today, you can send some love his way, do it. Because tomorrow you'll be able to do 4 minutes. And before you know it, the entire week, you can just keep sending love the person's way. But again, we are responsible for ourselves. We are responsible for ourselves, and we need to take control of ourselves and know that the children are watching us.
They're watching.
Go ahead.
We are who they are becoming.
That's right. And regardless of the agendas, they are becoming we have them and we mold them, you know? Let's talk about your son co-writing the book with you. What age he was when he did that?
Son, how old were you when he co-wrote the book? He happens to be right here. So
does he want to say anything he can?
Say hi to the radio audience.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, how are you, Mr. Williams? How are you doing, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I am wonderful. Well, seeing that you're there, let me not get the information secondhand. I love to go directly to the source. So if it's okay with you, do you have a few minutes?
Yeah, I have a couple of minutes. I have to head out in a little bit, but I do have some.
All right, great. So let's talk about being brought up by a single mom. I've heard mom's words on that, but now I want to get your thoughts on that, and then I want you to finish up and let the viewers and myself get a clear understanding about when she approached you about co-writing the book.
Okay. She didn't approach me about co-writing the book. How it actually happened was my friend and I were in the car, and my mom always talks about writing a book, or she used to always talk about writing a book. And we decided that she actually should do it.
That's right.
She had a great idea.
Action.
Yeah. She had a great idea, and, I mean, she's extremely smart and talented, and anything that she puts her mind to, she's able to accomplish, which is actually where I get it from, so I'm grateful for that.
Wonderful.
So we decided to, instead of just talking about it and have one of those things that's kind of up in the air, we decided to have her go after it.
That's right. You held her accountable. I love that.
Exactly. Yep.
I love that. But as you look back over your childhood growing up, what were some of the high points and some of the low points of that time for you, not having a father under the roof with you?
Well, it's kind of funny. I went to a high school in the city. It's a prestigious high school in New York City. And a lot of my black friends didn't have a father in the household. but most of the other races had the father in the household. So the school is about 40% Caucasian, 40% Asian, and the rest were something else, but there's like just about 7% black. But almost everybody that I knew that was black did not have a father in the household.
Wow.
So it was an interesting dynamic.
Yes.
I was fortunate enough that I didn't really have a lot of down stuff. My mom was involved a lot. So I didn't have to feel like I had something missing from the household.
Right.
So as far as I was concerned, and as far as I am concerned, our household is complete. But now as I'm grown up, I have learned how difficult it was to put all that together and make me feel that way.
Beautiful. Well, I want to be respectful of your time. I want to thank you. However, I know your mother have her show on a Sunday, but I would love to have you in conversation on one of my life issues show, which is on a Sunday evening. So we are going to connect and talk about that, because I am feeling in my spirit that you have so much that you can offer to young boys and even some grown men who are still holding on to that root of regret of not having a father. So I thank you for coming on.
Absolutely. And we'll set that interview up, definitely.
Thank you. So is there anything else you would like to say before you go?
With effort, there's nothing that we can't accomplish.
That's right.
And I just want people to know that it looks grim in some situations, but you put hard work and effort into it, and you have the right support system around you.
Yes.
There's nothing you can't accomplish.
All right. Well, thank you so much, and I look forward to us having our own conversation. And I wanted to thank your mom for allowing you this time to share this platform with her.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Daphne. I'm here.
Okay. I want to welcome guests 12354, 12355, 12358 to the show. I am in conversation with attorney nurse Kathleen Williams and her eloquent son, who just made a guest appearance to the show. I want to just thank you all for joining in. And remember, guys, the lines are open. I want to see this board lit up. The number to call is 646-915-8166. Oh, Miss Kathleen, congratulations. Girl, you did a magnificent job.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
What
that's my heart right there.
Man.
He's a sweetheart, so I tell you. I don't know what I'm saying. Thank you, Jesus.
Somebody's going to be blessed with a good husband.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Yes.
He is, just so you all know, Sean is, he's in grad school right now. He's getting his master's in business at a university here in Queens.
Yes.
He told you about that?
No, but we'll talk about it when I get him on the show. He's going to be on my show, you know, on a Sunday to share his story.
I heard him say that you were going to set that up, so that's really great. I'm excited.
So don't you be
he's a great guy.
Don't be making any plans for my guests to be helping you with your show on a Sunday evening. Let me just tell you, over the global airwaves, don't be stepping in the way of my guests. You know, but, oh, what a blessing, Kathleen. What a blessing.
Thank you.
It is just a blessing and an encouragement. So let's talk about the book, and then I want to go into the other things that you're doing. And when the other lady comes on, we're going to talk about the International Men's Day. But I want to spend this time talking about you and your path and your journey and all the things that you are doing to impact the world and the community that you share.
Oh, thank you, Daphne. Thank you. Okay, what would you like to know about the book?
Huh?
What would you like to know about the book?
What's the feedback you have gotten from people who have been reading it?
Oh, my goodness. It's been incredible. The feedback has been really very good. Both married parents, men and women, and that's a surprise. That was a surprise to me, that I didn't know that so many married people would say, oh, my God, I need to restructure my parenting schedule.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea that all of this stuff was so important to our children. So basically, this book talks about what I did in participating with Sean in his sports activities. And this is volume one. So I talked about the importance of sports in a child's life. Now, a lot of parents that don't have their kids in sports argue with me and say, well, you know, I don't think you should encourage people to put their kids in sports. Their kids might like piano, they might chess, and whatever. Fine. If your children are not in sports, just make sure they're in something. But that does not negate my opinion that sports specifically is something that every child should experience, whether they, and I'm not saying they have to be good at it, but just participating in it makes a huge difference because they learn a lot of skills, from teamwork skills, from learning how to lead, learning how to follow, learning how to interact with other kids, whether it is in agreement with them or in disagreement with them. They learn how to fight and get past it. They learn how to learn from an adult and interact with and talk with an adult. So they have to participate, and then they become participatory in a team effort. And that is really something that I think that men often have over, well, an advantage that men have that sometimes women don't have. Because as young ladies and as girls, we don't often get together and be able to play basketball on a team.
And
learn what that whole teamwork dynamic is like.
That's right.
Many of us don't play football as a team, you know, and come together with that whole camaraderie and be able to trust your sister to have your back, even if she happens to be mad at you that day, because it's for the team.
You know,
that's something that young ladies don't get the same way that men do.
That's right.
Even if you have a man from Bangladesh and a man from Jamaica and a man from Spain, and they can't even speak the same language, and they can come into the same room and watch soccer, football, or whatever, and still
have a good time. You think, Kathleen, that people are not seeing sport ads? I think the minute people hear sports, they're looking that it has to be on the big level. But I tell you something, a sport is one of the biggest community building activities that you can do. It's like love. Love is universal. So when you find somebody and you love the person, they don't speak your language, but you know you embrace and you can express that feeling. And as you so eloquently lay out the illustration about the sports with the three different nations, you never see those people fighting. When they go out there, they know what play, whether they're playing it in Spanish or in English, they know what play they need to make to win the game.
That's
what we need to do as a people.
That's right.
You know,
and I'm going to tell you. Oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead, please.
I'm going to add one more. It's universal, and it can bring people together all over the world. For example, we just had the U.S. Open here in New York, right? People fly in from all over the world.
That's right.
Not only to play in the U.S. Open, but to watch the U.S. Open.
That's right.
All over the world, right?
All over.
So you're saying it's a unifier, but guess where else it unifies? On the basic level between a parent and a child.
It's
a unifier.
It breaks down all barriers.
And it's something that women miss out on, not men.
Mm-hmm.
But women miss out on. So if you're raising a young and you are a single mother, and you get to a point where, oh, my gosh, I don't know what's going on with this boy. He's always watching that dad on basketball. Oh, my God, now another football game, and he won't do his homework, and he won't this, and he won't that. Right? But if you can't beat him, what do they say, Daphne?
Join them.
Join them.
That's right. That's right. You
because
got to join them. But
when you can't get him to sit down and talk to you over tea, you can get him to talk to you about a football game. And then from
exactly.
that football game, you can move right into the conversation about homework.
And guess what?
Or whatever.
On your way driving back home, you are going to have a lot of conversation about that game.
That's
but
right.
But, you know, we women and girls, we get so catty. And I remember growing up in Jamaica, we as girls, the boys had the football that they were playing that they called soccer. You all call it soccer. They call it soccer in Spain. We call it football in Jamaica.
Football.
But I remember after I left nursing school, or I was, yeah, I left nursing school and I was working at the hospital in Montego Bay. And they formed an adult hockey team. That was my first time holding a hockey stick. I was in my 30s. But I was playing on that team and we were going from Kingston to Mandeville to Montego Bay playing on that hockey team. And you had the women playing against the men, then you had co-ed teams and everything. But I tell you something, I know that a lot of my appreciation for other cultures right now and how to communicate and embrace others who are different develop on that
That's
topic.
Right. That's right. That's
so
right.
What,
I'm telling you.
What you just said, it is so powerful. It is powerful. And women need to open up themselves and be receptive. And don't be getting mad at the sister when you notice her eyeshadow is nice today and her hair is gorgeous. Just embrace her. But we get into too much petty, catty things. And that's why we are losing a lot of the benefits that are out there to help us to expand. If you are
and
just
our kids really are at our benefit because they can only go further than what we show them, right?
That's right.
So if
That's
we
right.
are not demonstrating to them how to interact and operate in a multiracial, multicultural world with
mm-hmm.
one, I'm telling you, there is one major unifier. There are
mm-hmm.
some people that don't like sports, but I'm telling you, the vast majority,
That's
the
right.
vast majority. And
mm-hmm.
the women are, if you look in an arena, we see women out there too. Out there because there are men out there.
That's right. Some is going, guess what? Some is going out there to prowl. They don't understand the game, but they're out there to be prowling.
You know, so you got it, and your son has got to be there. And then one thing I keep telling moms is like, look, I get so tired of seeing these young men in the hair salon, in the nail salon, sitting down waiting on their mothers. They might have an iPhone or something like that, but they're basically sitting down with all these women, listening to all this gossip and whatever else, and getting hair and nails done on Saturday morning.
I'm so glad that doesn't happen in my beauty shop. And I'm telling you, I'm on it. Because I tell you something, there are some beauty shops I used to go into and it turned my stomach. And those young men could be somewhere else doing something productive and talking to other men
yeah.
and learning stuff. Kathleen, why do you think we as women refuse to let go, especially of our sons? And I use refuse as a strong statement because some really refuse. I mean, some don't modify the way they parent and all of that. But I don't know. Why is it so challenging for us to do that?
To let go of the kids?
Let go, especially of the sons. We are talking about having them sitting there waiting on the women in the beauty shop instead of say, hey, go to a movie with your boyfriends or something. I'll pick you up after the hair appointment. Why is this a challenge for parents to do?
Okay.
Don't be playing it safe now.
It's selfishness.
Of course. Downright selfishness.
It's ego, egotistical, and it's selfish. Because here, I have a friend who keeps saying, Kathleen, stop making excuses for people. And just say what's on your mind. Because I was getting ready to say, you know, it may not be intentional, but whatever, whether it's intentional or it's not intentional, in that moment, it's all about me. About me. It's all about my hair. It's all about what I need. It's all about what I got to do. It's all about me right now. It is not about you. And one of the things that I found out in raising my child as a single mother is that it takes tremendous, unprecedented sacrifice.
That's right now. Hey, that's what aim
is
right there. Mm-hmm.
It is no longer about me.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't been about me for 24 years.
That's right.
Unprecedented. But I'll tell you one thing. Here's the benefit. Because now, even with all of what Sean is doing right now, and I just got to say this plug, and you'll talk to him about this when he's on your program. While he played, the time and energy that we spent in sports, and I was out there with him, Daphne, running those drills, doing those suicides, tossing those balls, catching those balls, picking up those balls, driving him all over the place to tournaments and everything. I was there on site.
Wow.
Hours upon hours upon hours. And one of the things that I'm finding out now, he is getting his master's degree at no cost to him because he found a job in sports that is paying for his degree.
My God, what an investment. So not only
did
you invest in him, you invested in you too, because now it's not costing you anything.
For him to get his graduate degree.
My God.
Right? So it doesn't have to be that he wins the U.S. Open. You know, because he's a tennis player, it could be something as simple as, okay, he's working as the grad assistant tennis coach for the women's tennis team for a Big Ten school, and it's getting him a free tuition. Not only that, but he continues to learn and perfect his skill and stay healthy and stay in the conversation about healthy eating and working out and all of that stuff. It's a win-win.
That's right. But, you know, you would not have been experiencing this across-the-board win if you did not remove Kathleen out of the equation and invest in your son. And the thing is that it's coming full circle back to benefit you. Full circle. And it's benefiting you in ways that you never thought of. Because I know you had made provision for your son to go to college. But God is rewarding you, or the universe is rewarding you now, because you had invested in it. So now, here is your compensation, my child. What a beautiful story. And thank you so much.
Yes, you're welcome, and thank you so much. And thank God so much, because truly, it was nothing but His grace, you know, that gives you the wisdom to do certain things certain ways, and to pass on certain relationships, and to pass on jobs and not pursue certain things. But I tell you, he did work with me so that even while Sean was 3 years old, I was able to back to law school and get a law degree, pass the bar, to phenomenal professions. So, you know, there is a balance in it. So while that period of time was very challenging for us, and we had a whole lot of dancing around and balancing actively while I was in law school. Because anybody who's an attorney listening or who has aspirations of going to law school, that is a very jealous career.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, basically when you're studying law, and practicing it in some cases, you have to be very focused, and it's very difficult. We saw a lot of divorces in law school.
Someone in the chat room said, it means you did a great job raising him, meaning your son. His father is missing such power. And that leads me in, because I was going to ask, what is his father saying now, if he is saying anything?
I don't know, because I don't speak to him.
Okay.
I don't speak to him much. But his father was in his life. So, you know, he wasn't a totally absent dad.
Okay.
I mean, Sean knows who his father is. We were married, and as I mentioned, we got divorced when he was 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So, initially, in the early years, we communicated a lot and had to do a lot of exchanging and so on and so forth, because we lived in different coasts, actually, and then in different states. So there was a lot of driving back and forth and switching over and making sure that he continued to see his father. And there were, you know, a lot of also difficult, very, very, very difficult times as well. So that's why I tell the mom, no matter what, if your ex is not threatening your life or your child's life, and they want to see their children,
let's make the provision for it to happen.
Make it happen.
Make the provision.
Your kids need to know. Yes, they gotta know that they have a father that loves them.
You know, my son is now 29, and my sister-in-law was telling me the other day that when I was in Jamaica, Babaka, my son lives in Jamaica now, and he apparently called his father, because this young man had not seen his father or heard from his father since he was 9 years old. And my sister-in-law...
And he's 29 now?
That's right. My sister-in-law was telling me, she said, girl, I don't know what happened, but all I heard him say on the phone, if I knew that the conversation was going to go this way, I would not use my
phone
to call you.
Yep.
And... you know, so I said to my son, did you ever speak to your father? He said, yes. And I said, what happened? He said, I don't want to talk about it. So I just left it alone. You know?
Yeah.
I just left it alone. But it's very important that we as parents remain neutral regardless of what our feelings are about our ex. But we need to leave our kids free to make the choices that they want to make.
Well, I don't totally agree with that.
All right, so go ahead.
I don't totally agree with that.
You have a lot of noise in your background, girl. What are you doing, washing dishes?
Oh, sorry about that. I just put one away. Listen, what I think about that is neutral is not always good. Not to me.
Right.
Neutral is not always good, because then, especially if I'm not neutral and I see my son going through a lot of pain over a situation, my son, I need to be able to say to him, look, this is how I feel. However, it doesn't, you know, I'm not going to stay in this place, and I want to move into a space where I can be accepting, and this is not torturing me or making me act in a particular way towards him or anybody else.
Revengeful.
Revengeful, exactly. And you as a young man have to understand, too, that, you know, this is how life is sometimes. So let's talk about it and get out your feelings about it, and then that way we can move on. Because
when I had mentioned about the being neutral, is not even when you find out, for example, when I found out that Givante could not have communicated with his father, I could have said, if I had chose to, I could have said a lot of evil things about his father.
You sure could have. Yes, indeed.
So that's what I said. Oh, no.
I see what you mean.
I'm just being neutral. Yes. You don't want to talk about it. I left it alone. That's what I meant by that.
Yeah.
We can, oh man, if we can tell me, we can just let our tongue loose if want to. And then after we do that, we cannot harness it again. So we got to be careful.
That's right. Especially with Jamaican women, you know, we can let it go.
Honey, girl, child, we don't joke. Oh, you better be nice to us. Because it's going to be swifter than an Irene, I tell you. Oh, Lordy, Lordy. I want to welcome apologies to the chat room. Welcome. You are new. I've never seen you before here in my chat room, but I welcome you, my brother slash sister. And please come back. So mark my show favorite and come back. Come back. Follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Facebook and at my Vision Weekend conference. Just support me all around. I love to have friends. So, Miss Kathleen, let's talk about I'm Just Saying.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And before we do, Daphne, I just want to say, listen, where do I get my ticket for that Vision conference? Because that is going to be off of the chain. I can't wait.
All right,
wait.
Girlfriend. You will... You will know the site is not live yet. I'm still waiting on the speakers to send all their information in. It is my prayer that by next week the site is going to be up. It's going to be visionweekendconference.com. And we're going to have all the tickets and everything. They're looking for vendors, exhibitors, everybody. So it's going to be a world-rocking revolution. We're going to be changing Times Square. A friend of mine he said it's going to be so much energy in that room, it's going to be blowing the fuse.
I know a few of your speakers, of course, our mutual friend Chandel, and also Stephen Jackson, who is my mentor, actually. Stephen is my mentor. He's amazing.
Yes.
And the rest of the lineup that you had, it just sounds incredible. So I congratulate you on that, and I'm very excited about it.
Thank you. God is good. God, Kathleen, if I had gone out to put this platform together, I would not. So God chose this platform for me, and I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful. So
he does all things well.
Thank you. Well, I'm just saying, what's all that about?
Well, that is the reason for, I'm just saying, how it came into existence is because I was watching television, as I often do or did, and noticed that any talk show I turned on, any TV program I turned on, whether it was about the news or just about events in general, I never saw my perspective anywhere. And it didn't matter what race, nationality, or gender the person was, what party they belonged to, Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever. I just never heard anybody saying what I thought about situations or cases or issues that were taking place in the world. And I was like, I know I'm not that strange.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be somebody in the world who thinks like me.
That's right.
So even when I listen to NPR, I didn't really find a fit. So I said, okay, and not only that, Daphne, but the issues that were really important to me, like this one, was not discussed any place.
That's right.
So, any place could I find information about this. So I'm looking for information. Well, how does a woman in New York City raise her son to be smart, talented, educated, well-educated, well-balanced, staying away from the police, staying away from incarceration, safe and having a great life in New York? How do you do that? Nobody was talking about that.
Nobody
was telling me whether or not I could date and, what do I do about dating and how do I pick a guy or how do I find mentors and, how do I keep,
What is that, Kathleen?
What is what?
What is dating? I guess I got to go hang out with you, girl. I'm coming down. There's some stuff I need to learn.
I'm telling you, I hear people talking about it, Daphne. I'm not quite sure. This is that was my point. Nobody was talking about it on TV, but I had heard the word a couple of times. I was like, that sounds interesting. So what is that? Exactly.
That is too funny. And, you know, a lot of times I work with clients as a coach, and I said to them, when you walk on the street or when you drive on the street and you see that thing that eggs you and rubs you the wrong way, don't ask why. It fits into your calling and purpose because you're supposed to fix it. And this, what you just mentioned about the, I'm just saying, is a true affirmation of that. You did
yes.
not sit around to say, well, why isn't this person talking about it? Why isn't that person talking about it? You began the conversation. You belong the dialogue.
Yes.
Oh, listen. Kimmy says, I guess somebody on here knows about dating. Kimmy says, dating is wonderful. I dated myself at least once a week. I love me.
I love Kimmy.
I love Kimmy.
She's what's up.
Yeah, you go, girl. That's right. That's why I buy myself flowers, and that's why I give myself birthday parties. I tell you, Kathleen, when I was 50, I gave myself a fabulous birthday party. Girl, it was black and gold, everything black and gold.
Nice.
And I put my first diamond ring on layaway. And I told
wow.
the man, though I was going to pay for the ring before the party, but seeing that it was my first diamond, I didn't want to wear it until my birthday party, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, I was decorating the hall with my friends. I made all the food myself. And when I went home to get dressed, Kathleen, guess what? I forgot to pick the ring up. I was so busy doing everything else. So I didn't go to church the next day. I went to the store to get the ring. The man said, I waited until 9:30 because I thought, I remember it's the party and I thought you were coming for the ring. So I am with you, Kimmy. I love me and I know I am so lovable and that there is somebody that's going to want to date me. So I love me and embrace me and do all the amazing things for me. So, but we thank you for sharing that, but it's so funny.
Yes, indeed.
So, what do you have on the pike? What can we look for coming up? You did one book already. You're working on some more?
Yes. As a matter of fact, as soon as the International Men's Day event has concluded, I will be taking a vacation, and then we're going to knock out the next two volumes of Single Mother, the New Father. Yeah.
Wonderful, 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 wonderful. So let's talk about some of the dialogues. I'm going back to, well, I'm just saying. Let's talk about some of the dialogue that takes place there.
Oh, wow. We talk a lot about men and men's issues on that show. We talk a lot about fathers, fatherhood, single dads, how do single dads and single mothers interact. We talk a lot about young men in particular because that's my passion, you know, seeing my son at the high school that he went to. Like, and I'm sure he was telling me about that. There were very, very, very few African-American young men at the school that he went to, one of the specialized high schools in New York, one of the best schools in the state of New York, if not one of the best schools in the country, public high schools in the country. And there were so few black men there. And it was, you know, so I stopped to think about that. And I'm like, why is that the case?
Wow.
You know, why is that so? And then when I started looking at it, it's like, okay, there are not that many black men who graduate from high school in New York, period. So Sean was in a very, very small group. One, he was a graduate of one of the best schools in the country. And two, he got into that school in the first place. And three, he went on to college.
Wonderful.
And it was wonderful, and I recognized that I was blessed.
Yes.
He was blessed.
Yes.
But it troubled me that there were so few others there.
He mentioned that those others that were there, they didn't have fathers in the home either.
All the other races had,
but not it. Kimmy is asking whether your book is on Amazon.
Yes, it is.
Yes, Kimmy, I know she's hearing you. Yes, it is on Amazon. Okay, so you can pick it up there again. Yes, so continue. We're talking about the conversations that you have there.
I started looking to figure out why that was and what was going on. And that's what led me to that conversation that we have a lot of on I'm just saying, which is how do we increase the 32% high school graduation rate for black young men in the city of New York. 32% graduation rate. Okay. So that means that over 50% of the young black men in high school do not graduate or don't graduate on time.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So when we look at that, we say, okay, well, if they're not graduating from high school, then there's something seriously wrong either with their academics or with the social environment in which they live. And what we find is that it's both.
It's both. That's what I was gonna say. It is both, and this is an area where a lot of commitment is needed, and people have to keep plugging in to see what can we do to contribute to making this different. You know,
yes.
You better stop knocking all them dishes.
You see what I mean? This is the whole other thing.
You know, exactly.
I can't just sit here and talk to you and not do work.
Yeah, I have to take you to the doctor. I need to take you to the doctor so they can put you on some Ritalin or something.
If you could watch me one day, I make myself dizzy. Let me go sit down.
I'm saying I can believe her knocking dishes and everything in the thing. Yes.
Yes, ma'am. All right.
So I'm going to sit you down and glue you down. We still have another 17 minutes before the other guests. Someone in the chat room said they are hearing a radio in the background. So if anybody who is watching the show have a radio on, would you please do us the honors and turn it off? I just love when I have decision-making listeners.
I don't have any technology on here. There's nothing on. No TV,
oh,
no radio,
no
computer.
I don't know. Maybe it's not you. Maybe somebody else. Because I'm telling you, up until now, I'm not technically astute. But I'm getting there, and the Lord is going to give me some more volunteers who understand. Maybe Apologies is my new co-host. Who knows here? We'll see what happens out of this. But thank you so much. Guest 13119, thanks for joining us. And listen, this telephone has not rang. And, you know, it's a shame that this lady is on here giving her time. Yes, she got distracted a couple times with the dishes, but I still think you need to show her some love.
I don't get distracted, girl. I can do dishes and talk now. Come on. I am not distracted. Trust me.
So I want for you guys to just show her some love. Call in. She's done such a phenomenal job raising her son and investing in other single parents. Parent, because she mentioned earlier on, even married couples are finding value in this book. So Why don't you call in 646-915-8166? And I know if you're at work, you have to whisper, but I won't keep you long. So if you have to, just call in 646-915-8166. I am in conversation with Kathleen Williams. And oh my heavens, I didn't even take a commercial break. But why don't I do one right now? Right now, I am coming up with that.
Hello, and welcome to Dr. Daphne Clark Hudson Radio Hour, and we're glad you're here. Hey, listen, get over to drdaphne.in right now and get your advertisement for only $10 placed on the International Bulletin Board. That's right, for only $10, you can have your message seen by our thousands of listeners. So get over there right now, drdaphne.in. We thank you for listening to the show, and we will continue with it now. Have a great day.
And I want to remind you about March the 23rd through the 26th at the Broadway Millennium Hotel in New York City. There will be the Vision Weekend Conference 2010. I want to present to you the speakers and the platform, Jim Nemley. And Jim is the CEO of the Better Business Builders. And as his slogan says, nobody, nobody builds them better. And next is one of the most talented design artists in the world. She is the best. She's the owner of Black Cat Design out of New York and Virginia. And that's Chandel Pitts. Strategic leader and thought-provoking teacher and author and strategy expert Jennifer Sertlis out of Rochester, New York, and personal productivity strategist Edward Foxworth III out of Detroit. Kobe Huberman, CEO of Strategic Landscape Limited and president of the Israel Peace Initiative in Israel. Then we have Mr. Sam Orr, who is the CEO and founder of One Voice Worldwide in Atlanta, headquarters in Atlanta, and also in the UK. Dr. Cheryl Cuttle, strategic planner and business development consultant out of Canada. Mr. Stephen Jackson, GM, RDZ Media LLC, the original geek and multimedia guru. Attorney Ariella Mitchell Durant is a copyright and intellectual property attorney out of Arizona. Mr. Brian D. Ridgway out of Hawaii is a transformational mentor. Mr. Willie Crawford is a joint venture guru and a millionaire. Miss Crystal Washington is a marketing and social media strategist. Miss Jan Mullock is a master positive achiever out of Australia, out of Scotland. I think this morning I said Australia. She's from Scotland. And Mr. Leon Ellis is an entrepreneur, restaurant owner, and a motivational speaker. And Mr. Simon T. Bailey, who is our keynote, we'll be blessed to hear from Simon twice at the banquet, at the gala Saturday night, and also at the Sunday morning presentation. We are going to have the Brilliantaire himself. Simon is the founder of the Brilliance Institute. So God has brought us all together. I'm honored to be the founder and guest and host, rather, of the Vision Weekend Conference. Remember, if you are looking for a vision, transformation, revolution, mark your calendar for March the 23rd through the 26th. And now back to my honored, distinguished guest, attorney/nurse, Kathleen Williams. Are you still there? Or are you cooking your dinner?
Listen, I had you on mute so I could go ahead and finish my dishes out. Put my dishes away. Listen, work must continue. I didn't start cooking yet.
It's just amazing. It's so much fun, you know, being in this conversation with you, Kathleen. And
well,
what I want
you,
for you to do now, because I am actually going to ask you to give your closing thoughts on this segment before we are joined by the other lady, Miss Sears. But I want you to tell people when your shows are, how to support you in your shows, and where they can get your book from. And then after that, you can please just summarize our conversation for this portion, because when we get on, we are going to be going into the International Men's Day organization.
The way to reach me is via my website, which is imjustsayingtv.com, imjustsayingtv.com. You can click on the link that says Contact Kathleen, or my website for the book, where you can purchase directly online, is KathleenWilliams.com, and Kathleen is spelled with a C, KathleenWilliams.com, C-H-H-L-E-E-N, Williams.com. The, what else did you ask me to say?
Summarize the dialogue. What are the high points? We spoke about so much richness this morning, but if you would pick out some high points that you want to leave my listeners with, what would those high points be?
Well, first of all, the thing that was so profound for me, and this was not necessarily while I was going through it, but really the dedication and the sacrifice it takes to raise children.
Mm-hmm.
So for the women who do not have children yet, do understand that it takes a sacrifice beyond anything that you could imagine to raise your children. Whether you are married or not married, it is a tremendous amount of work. It takes a tremendous amount of love and a tremendous amount of growth on your part to do this. It truly is one of the steps along the Maslow's hierarchy of needs towards self-actualization. Because the better you are at being you, the better you are as a parent. So while you are giving selflessly of yourself, it is important to remain in a conversation with people who are transformed and who are reaching towards higher heights every day, because that makes you become a better person.
Mm-hmm.
The happier you are, the better you are at being you and the person that God has gifted you to be, the better you will be as a parent. And there is no greater reward ever than to have the gift of a child from the grace of God. There is no greater gift. There is, if there were anything in the world that I would change in my life, it would not be to not be a mother. That is by far my greatest gift from God, my greatest accomplishment, and my greatest joy and pride is the fact that I am a mother. And whether you're married or single does not change the dynamic and the gift
of being a
mother.
That's right. It is a blessing.
It is truly a gift. Every day I thank God for my son. Every day I thank God for him. And I recognize Daphne, and I appreciate your comment that who he is now is a tribute to me. But truly as well, who I am now is a tribute to him.
Exactly, because it was a dual role. As
yes,
you invest in him, you develop all these magnificent qualities that you can so eloquently come on the airwaves and share with others to impact the world. Because, Kathleen, what you went through and what I went through growing my son, if we had programs like this and people who would come on and be transparent with us, we would not have gone through it in that way, because
that's
we would
right.
know that, oh, you are not isolated out there. There's somebody else who did it and is here to tell the story. So
that's
I
right.
thank you for your transparency to come on and let people know what it is all about, and to know they can call on you, and you wrote a book that they can read to help themselves. So I thank you again for that.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And Daphne, I thank you for the platform and for your sharing your incredible stage with me. Mm-hmm. I don't take it lightly at all, and I truly appreciate it. There's one thing I do want to add, and it's just in my spirit right now, so this must be for someone who's listening or someone who will
listen
in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
You have 6 minutes, so.
Regardless of your, whatever has happened in your life, let me just get to the point. Somebody out there is either dealing with or dealt with domestic violence.
Mm-hmm.
And I am just imploring you to say that there is life beyond that,
mm-hmm.
and don't get stuck in the conversation of domestic violence or think that your life or your child's life is any less valuable or damaged as a result of the experience that you have gone through. You can get past it. That
mm-hmm.
is something that is in a part of, is in my experience as well. It's something that I dealt with. It's something that Sean and I have had to talk about and deal with as a result as well. And
mm-hmm.
so I want you to know that all those, you know, glorious things that you see as you hear me talk and you hear me, my bio and introduce and so forth, please don't think that we did not have to go through major complications and overcome major obstacles to get to this place, and we're continuing to press forward. So
mm-hmm.
wherever you are and whatever you're dealing with, you give your heart to God and put your mind on what your dreams are and what your vision is and what your destiny is, and go for it, because you can achieve it.
Okay. Well, thank you. We have a call. Let me check to see whether this is my next guest or whether this is a call for you. Would you hold the line, please?
Sure.
Good
sure.
morning, caller. Your last four digits are 0236. Would you state your name and where you're calling from, please?
Odetta Wright from Richmond, Virginia.
Hello. Good morning, Miss Wright. And what's your question, please?
I did not have a question. I was calling in because I wasn't able to get online. So I'm glad I'm able to access it from my phone, and I look forward to the future information.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And when you get back on your computer, please mark the show favorite so that you can support me. I'm always looking for listeners and to get feedback. Write a note to say what your thoughts are about the show. So I'll just mute you, and if it comes a time in the rest of the show that you have a question, if you just raise your hand, I will give you live.
Certainly will. Thank you.
All right. You're very welcome. Yes, so that's a real blessing that people are listening in, Kathleen, and just to tap in. Kimmy says she loves your website, so she's going back
to it. Thank you.
I tell you
that.
Kimmy,
I need to meet her.
Kimmy is in, you know, Kimmy is your friend on Facebook, too.
Hey, Kimmy, how are you, dear?
She's Kimmy P-O-O-H, but I think I've seen her as your friend on
Kimmy
Facebook.
Kimmy, yes.
Yeah, she's
Kimmy
out
too.
In,
she's wonderful.
Yeah, she's out in Atlanta. She's such a blessing. She's a phenomenal, phenomenal woman. Getting ready to soar out on higher levels. She's so committed to working with the young people to get their finances in order.
Awesome.
So she's doing that. She's going to be creating some curriculums to go out into the schools and all of that stuff. So when she have those stuff together, we going to have Miss Kimmy on here talking about her stuff. So you can't turn back, Miss Kimmy. You got to take action, girl. Right now, she's working. She works with her grandchildren with their finances. And we know she can take that same curriculum out in the world.
Yes, indeed.
That she can start earn a bread and butter from that. So it's just wonderful. So anything else, Kathleen? You have 2 more minutes before our other guest calls in. Is there anything else you were hoping I would have asked you and I didn't?
Well, yes. Let's go back to the dating real quickly. When you have your children in sports environments, what you will find for single mothers is that you are in a venue where there's nothing but men. Men, gorgeous men, tall men, short men, fat men, skinny men, you name it. Men all over the place. So these men are a plethora of a community of men that can be role models for your son, your daughter too, but primarily for your sons. We're always looking for men to talk with our sons and give them information about manhood, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When you find the mentors and the role models, you have to screen them. So you are watching these men and screening them to be mentors and role models for your son. You are not out there to find your next ex-boyfriend.
Lord help me, she's going there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Chapter 2. I'm telling you,
don't date the coach. That's chapter 2. You got to pick up the book and read it, baby. It's incredible information.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, Lord, help us, Father. Lord, that was too funny. That was too funny. That was too funny. I cannot believe the people in the chat room did not ask a question and they did not call in. Anyway, I still love you guys very much, very much. Well, seeing that we are on the topic of coaching. No, I mean dating. The next man to come in my life.
He's in trouble, huh?
Just me, no. Because Kimmy Poo says the next man that's going to come in her life is at the Vision Conference. You heard me? Kathleen, are you there? I guess she got disconnected. Don't know why. Oh, yes, Miss Kimmy Poo, I hear you. I think Kathleen put me on mute and don't hear that I'm talking to her. Kathleen, are you there? Hello, Miss Kathleen. I still have you up on the screen. I don't know why I'm not hearing you, but that is amazing. Okay. All right. I don't know what happened. Okay. Hello. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Now I can. I don't know why you weren't hearing me before.
I was laughing so hard. Mute. I hit the mute button.
Oh, okay. Okay, because I had you up. Did you hear what Kimmy says?
Yes, I did. And I was over there screaming. I said, speak that thing, girl. Speak it.
That's right. Speak you it. Speak, girl. Because next, who knows? Maybe the conference 2013 we'd have the wedding right there because we committed to New York for 3 years.
Come on now.
We have another call. So would caller, your last 4 digits are 3963. Would you state your name and where you're calling from, please?
Hi, it's Diane Sears calling from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Hello, Miss Sears.
Hi, Diane.
Hi, Kathleen. How are you?
Okay,
thank you.
Oh, but Kathleen, all right, I'll bring you on in a minute, Miss Sears, if you just hold on. Kathleen, I had the last question. I know I had to ask that. You mentioned about when they take the sons out there not to be looking for the boyfriend and all of that stuff. But during this journey that you had been on, did any of those people approach you for a date?
Well, why do you think that's chapter 2?
Lord, I see that
it's not chapter 6. It's not chapter 9. What? Chapter 4 would have been chapter 1.
Then we got to understand when to say yes and when to say no. But, you know, Kathleen, I just want to thank you for this time that you have invested in some disturbances. I'm hearing a lot of noise. I don't know.
One of the lines you have open, probably the feedback is coming from. So
I'm
not doing anything.
Okay. All right. So you need to just please be on the phone, and if you have the computer on, would you be kind enough to just lower that? But anyhow, Kathleen, I want to thank you, and I know that I'll have you back on because you add so much energy and so much life to what
thank
I'm
you,
doing.
Thank you, Daphne.
I just want to thank you so, so, so very much. And I know you are remaining for this segment as well. So what I want to do, I want to thank guest 13730, 13752. Apologies, Kimmy Poo, for remaining. And I want to take this opportunity to now welcome my guest for this segment, who will now join with Kathleen Williams. I want to welcome Miss Diane Sears from the International Men's Day Organization. Miss Sears, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Good morning to you. Good morning to Kathleen. I want to thank the both of you for this wonderful opportunity. How are you both today?
Oh, we are just wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Great, Diane. Hi. It's good to talk with you again, as always.
It's good to hear from you, too. You inspire me.
All right. Why don't we go directly into the task at hand for this portion of the show? Would you please take a few minutes, Ms. Sears, to introduce yourself to my listeners? Tell them who you are and a little bit about your story, please.
Okay, my name is Diane Sears. I'm the United States Coordinator for International Men's Day. I am also a member of the International Men's Day Coordination Committee, where I represent the United States of America. I have spent the last 12 years working on fatherhood and men's issues. I'm sure everyone wants to know, why is a woman working on fatherhood and men's issues? Well, this was not my idea. I was lucky enough to have a mentor, the late L.T. Henry, a classically trained jazz musician who performed briefly with the Philadelphia Orchestra and was a former drummer for internationally acclaimed songstress, film, and television actress Della Reese. He was also a sales and success motivation trainer and an author and photojournalist. He had an idea that the time would come when men would start working together, supporting one another, and sharing information about issues indirectly and directly relating to parenthood. He felt that men didn't have a voice, and that it was necessary for men to have a voice so they could have the freedom to do what they needed to do to empower and strengthen our families, our communities, and our world. Unfortunately, he died in March of 1991 before he could fully develop his idea, and I have spent the last 12 years resurrecting his dream and perpetuating his legacy. It was the least that I could do for a man who had done so much for me.
Okay. My assistant is asking that you lower your volume because that is what is giving the feedback that we are getting. So I want to piggyback on something you said. Before I do that, I want to welcome guests 13730-13849 to the show. I want to piggyback on something you said about men. Okay, someone has something, please. You mentioned about men not having a voice, and, you know, I debate that, and I ask the question, is it that they don't have a voice, or some of them is not taking the voice that they are supposed to be utilizing?
That's an interesting question. I will answer it this way. For the last 30 to 40 years, and it's been a good thing, there's been a lot of emphasis on women's issues and girls. I mean, that's a good thing. But in the process, men have fallen by the wayside. They're suffering in terms of health. The mortality rate for men is at a very critical level. Women are outliving men by 5 to 6 years. men don't feel that they don't have access to the resources that are readily available for women. Couple that with the fact that men feel they're getting missed signals from society, the media, and other sources about their roles and responsibilities as men.
I see that we need to be sitting around the debate table, because I tell you something, this show can go on for another year disputing all of that. When we talk about falling by the wayside, I mean, the sisters are beginning to raise up now, because we saw the importance of coming together, and we have not even slightly scratched the surface yet, but that's a whole show for, I mean, that's another 10 show for another time. I want to just refocus on to why we are here today, International Men's Day, because that's, oh, well, oh, that's a whole different topic for another time, I'm telling you. Are you a parent, and are you a single parent, Ms. Sears?
I'm sorry?
Are you a parent?
No, I'm not.
Okay, so you're not a parent.
I'm an aunt. Does that count?
I beg your pardon?
I'm an aunt. I have a niece. Does that count?
Okay, so in other words, you're not a biological parent, but you're a parent of community's children and even some in your family. Because we are all parents, whether we are biologically, whether we have biologically given birth or not, we are all parents, especially for those of us who believe it takes the village to raise a child. So,
exactly.
Other than your mentor pointing you into this direction, what other passion has called you to this platform?
Everything that I see around me. Mm-hmm. One thing that really disturbed me, when about a year after I started working on fatherhood and men's issue, I started getting letters from incarcerated men of African descent asking me for a copy of my journal.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would get these letters, and they would say, "Hi, I'm John Jones. Here's my information." So I would send the journal. Then after they felt comfortable with me, they started writing me letters and saying, "Hi, I'm 25 years old. I've been incarcerated since I was 17. I started getting letters like this. So I started asking people in the fatherhood movement and people outside the fatherhood movement, what's going on? Why is it that all our young men are being taken out of the community and nobody is yelling and screaming? You know, how did this happen?" So that's another reason why I'm very dedicated to working on men's issues. It's my life's work.
Great. Well, I commend you on embracing and holding this torch high. So let's talk about the foundation. I know the founder lives in another country, and I just want to connect both. The organization is in different countries. So let's talk about the advantages that this new platform is offering to fathers. And let's talk about, I think in different states you have the different chapters. Let us move into that, and how did Attorney Williams became appointed to the position in that. So let's just move along swiftly in that part.
Well, I can tell you, International Men's Day is a global grassroots movement. We have global coordinators and regional coordinators in over 50 nations around the world.
Beautiful.
We communicate frequently. We communicate
Beautiful.
By email, Skype, telephone conferences, and we're all dedicated to one thing, and that is to empower and strengthen families, our communities, and our world by connecting men and women together, by making sure that they have all the tools that they need to positively shape the minds and souls of our children, our future, our bridge to the future.
Beautiful. Now, okay, so how does one get appointed? For example, I know Attorney Williams is the coordinator for the New York area. Is that an independent appointment or it's a selected appointment? How does this work for people who are listening and wants to be part of this organization?
Well, if anyone wants to be a coordinator and be a part of international Wednesday, they can give me a call, Diane Spears, at 267-581-3963. Or they can send me an email at insearchoffatherhood@gmail.com.
Okay. So I want to, Attorney Williams, are you there?
I'm sorry?
I was bringing
yes,
on Kat. All right. I want to have you interject here and speak about your involvement with the organization. And what are some added value you have gotten personally and for your community by being part of this organization?
Well, it helped me tremendously because I've always had a global view.
Ms. Sears, that question is for Kathleen, please.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. Go ahead, Kathleen.
Sorry, Kathleen.
Hi, Diane, and I just wanted to thank Diane again for bringing the International Men's Day, the date itself and the organization and everything to me. I really am very grateful for being appointed the regional co-coordinator along with Reverend Phil Craig, who I work with here in New York, for the state of New York. We're excited about it. It's our second year as regional co-coordinators, and it's been a wonderful opportunity to really spread more information about the day and just kind of bring in men who are already working in fatherhood programs and men's organizations and men's ministries and introducing the idea of a day of celebration for men and young men on November 19th. So it's exciting, and for especially for New York, a lot of the men that are here are, as you know, everybody's so busy, and they don't know about it. And they're like, what, another day where I get, you know, it's not just Father's Day where I get a tie or a tool from Home Depot, and now there's a day where I'm being celebrated, and the successes of men. So the thing that I really wanted to talk about, Daphne, is the Great Man of Excellence Academy of Kings Awards program, which is something that I presented to my co-coordinator last year, and we were able to do it here in New York, in Queens, at the Black Spectrum Theater. It is a Black Tie Gala where we celebrate great men of excellence around the state of New York.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very touching, a very inspiring, and educational evening. We had young men come out and families from all around the state, as far as New Jersey, men came out to celebrate one another and see the men of excellence in the community. Some incredible networking took place. Young men and young women were excited to see that there are men who are right in their communities that can help them with information, get jobs, talk to them, and so forth. We had an incredible guest speaker, Chris Broussard from ESPN Sports, a commentator that you often see in basketball. Just you name it, and we had them there. And again, this year, as you know, the man of the year is Mr. Rockin' You, David Levy. He is David Levy is the man of the year this year, and he will be present in the house, and he will be speaking to the audience and accepting the Man of the Year award. We also have receiving a Lifetime Achievement Award, none other than Mr. George Frazier of Frazier Net. He will be in the house as well as Minister Abdul Hafiz Muhammad, who is Elijah Muhammad's Minister Louis Farrakhan's representative for the state of New York and New Jersey from Mosque Number 7. He is the keynote speaker this year talking about manhood and men. This event is going to be incredible. And just real quickly, Friday night, the night before, at a few locations around the city of New York, and you can contact me for more information. We are having a life skills workshop for young men. So many of these same men that I'm talking about, men of excellence in the communities of New York, will come out to talk with young men about what it means to become a man of excellence. So
okay.
It's going to be awesome.
We only have less than 10 minutes remaining on the show, Kathleen. So thank you for so eloquently filling us in on the upcoming event. I want to go back to Ms. Sears and give out some pertinent information about the organization and how it is indeed empowering fathers across the world. So can you, like, summarize those pointers for us, Ms. Sears?
Well, fathers are empowering themselves across the world by changing public policy and legislation. They're doing this by running for local, state, and federal offices.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
As a matter of fact, in the United States, our president, the Honorable Barack H. Obama, has done much to move the issues of men and fathers to the center of the American national radar screen, and for that we are truly grateful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Are single fathers stepping up to be part of the fatherhood initiative, or only fathers who are the traditional mother-father relationship? Are the single fathers stepping up to the plate as well?
Yes, they are. Single fathers, teenage fathers, married fathers, divorced fathers, non-custodial fathers, long-distance fathers, stepdads, they're all stepping up to the plate.
Right. So let's talk about the founder of the organization.
The founder of International Men's Day is Dr. Jerome T. Lipsing. He is a faculty member at the University of West Indies in Trinidad and Tobago. He is an author, a poet, a humanitarian, and the chairman of the International Men's Day Coordination Committee, which is now a global think tank.
Why did he think this was important to have such an initiative, Ms. Sears?
Well, he decided to create International Men's Day so that there would be a day where men, ordinary men, who didn't necessarily have to be a father, but an uncle, a brother, a neighbor, who every day unceremoniously and quietly go about the business of strengthening our communities and mentoring our children.
Mm-hmm.
We never know who these people are. They don't ask for awards. They don't ask for a spotlight on radio and TV.
Right.
We know them. They're our neighbors. They're in our families. They're everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Now, for the people who will be listening to this radio show, or maybe they are even listening now, they have never heard about it, and they are thinking, my community could do with one of these initiatives. How do they go about getting one started in their neighborhood?
All they have to do is get together with their neighbors. They could do something very small, like have a town meeting or a block meeting to discuss issues. This year, for instance, this year, the theme is giving boys the best possible start in life.
Mm-hmm.
We have examined five key challenges that prevent boys and young adolescent males, our sons, the next generation of fathers and husbands, from maturing into purpose-driven, successful, and productive adults. Challenges are education, health, violence, rights to fatherhood, and real-life options. What they can do if there are issues in their communities that relate to these challenges, they could have a town hall meeting. They could create a community council, which creates a mentoring program, a tutoring program. The sky is the limit for what could be done.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I want to commend you for the amazing job you're doing, and I want to allow you to please give out your contact information again, and then you're going to have a minute and a half to do that, and then I'm going to give Miss Kathleen Williams half a minute to give her a closing remarks, because we are down to 4 minutes to the show. So go ahead, Miss Pierce, please.
Thank you very much. I can be contacted. My name is Diane Sears. I can be contacted on my cell, 267-581-3963, or I can be sent an email at insearchoffatherhood@gmail.com.
Okay. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. And you continue doing the phenomenal job to make a difference in the man's life, the men of the world. Because it's not only the U.S. that you are concentrating on. And we still have 4 minutes, so who knows? Somebody probably will call in, so don't hang up. Do you have any addition, Miss Kathleen, anything you want to say?
Yes, absolutely. For the International Men's Day program here in New York, I definitely want to see you. And if you have friends that are in the New York area, that is the place to be, November 19th, Saturday evening. And you can just go straight to the website. Tickets are available there. More information is there. And the website is internationalmensdaynewyork.com. internationalmensdayny.com.
You know, I'm sitting here and I'm so excited that it takes phenomenal women in the world to really ignite some fire under these men. I don't know what they could have done without us. And, you know, I am just so excited. I mean, they were sitting on the sidelines whining about not having a voice. And thanks to the women, they have gotten a voice. So, women, I want to applaud you both. I want to thank you for the phenomenal, phenomenal work that you are doing.
Thank you, Jeff, for your work.
Thank you for all that you do.
Thank you so, so, so very much. And for all the people in the chat room and Kimmy Poo, thank you, my friend, for helping out in the chat room today. Know that you are called for a destiny. Do not allow anything or any situation to derail you from that destiny. Look around. Remember, you are responsible for yourself. And in addition, you're also responsible for the community and environment that you create for others. Why don't you go out and make something happen? This is Dynamic Daphne saying thank you again for blessing me with your presence.
And the plan you have. kind of grab it in your spirit and say this. Thank you for showing me and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I dare you to declare it. Tell the Lord, thank you for showing me. Hallelujah. And directing me. Speak to it. My destiny. Come on, you declare it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with this land. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with this land. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. See the breaking of day. It's destiny. That I know what I know, what I know, what I'm here for. Yeah. Oh, for showing me to the Lord tonight and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. A strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Hallelujah.